Welcome to Central Study Hour. We are so glad to have you join us this morning as we praise God together and we study the word that he left for us. And we are so happy to be together this morning. And we'll begin with hymn number 158, The Old Rugged Cross. A hymn 159, The Old Rugged Cross. A hymn that reminds us that what that cross symbolized was suffering and shame. And yet, Jesus did all of that for us sinners. So let's sing together all stanzas of hymn number 159, The Old Rugged Cross. Promise we have that one day we'll exchange it for our crown. So as we continue, we want to remind you that you can ask us for a special hymn that you would like us to sing on an upcoming Sabbath by going to saccentral.org. And on the contact us link, you can select CSH hymn request. And there you can share with us your name, where you're writing us from, and the hymn that you would like us to sing. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 163, At the Cross. And we'll sing all verses as well.
¶¶ I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, and suffered on the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. I pray that all of us will appreciate how much love went into the cross so that we may have that peace and that happiness forever, for eternity. So as we continue our study of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we are going to study lesson number 2, the message of the cross today. And before we go into the study, we will have a word of prayer. So we invite you to please bow your heads so we can speak with God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because we can gather together to open your word and to sing your praises. And Lord, we ask a special blessing from the Holy Spirit so that as we studied about your word, Lord, we may be enriched and we may grow in our lives and our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for your death on the cross. Thank you for your love for us. And please be with us today, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The message this morning will be provided by a panel led by Dr. Jim Tayeg. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Well, thank you very much. How appropriate those songs are, right? Tell us all about the cross, and that's the message of our lesson for today. Again, as mentioned, we're still studying 1 Corinthians. It's the second lesson, the message of the cross. So we'll focus on that one. And before we continue, I would like to remind everybody who is here or watching online, if you want a copy of this discussion, you can always email us at csh@saccentral.org or call us at 916-457-6511. And you can specify offer number C202-628. Again, that's C202-628. Again, before we continue, we have again here a panel. Brother Bona is here with us, who will be with us also, and also Sister Johanna, who was here last Sabbath. Why don't we again pray? Would you like to lead us in prayer?
Okay. Let's bow our head for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit as we going to be opening the scriptures from the Bible study, from the study guide in Sabbath school lessons. We pray that you keep us away from all distractions, plug in each of our faith to Jesus Christ in this Bible study. And lead us, Lord, and please be with us and inspire us with your Holy Spirit so we can find the treasures of truth from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Buona. And our lesson covers the last half of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And that's starting from verse 17 down to 31. And it continues actually to the first five verses of chapter 2. So it touches those from 17 to 31 of the first chapter and the first five verses of chapter 2. Somehow our lesson skipped the second part of the first part, first half of chapter 1, which actually gives a context. And I think that will be studied also, that will be covered for next week. So it is skipping it, but it's an important context that we will look into. But I think it is very important that we, all of us, would read that the passage that we will be studying. Wouldn't it be nice to do that? Why don't we read that? Start from verse 17. Sister Joanna, you want to start that?
And sure.
Probably you can continue, Brother Buona.
So I read all the way until?
Maybe until 16?
I start in 17 and
I'm sorry. From 17 to, 25.
Perfect. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Mm. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Mm. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. Mm. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Yes. Continue, Brother Buona, until chapter 2, verse 5.
For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, but many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Wow.
But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Oh. 10.
And I, brethren, when I come to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Yes, amen. So beautiful passage, and it's so packed, right? It's so packed, and it's actually appropriate that, very, very appropriate, that our lesson author chose verse 18 to be the key, a memory text. And I would like to read that again. That's verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Right? It's so actually easy to read that and get a superficial understanding. I said, yeah, of course, we know it's foolishness to those who don't believe, but it's actually the power of God for us who are being saved. But what was the context of that? Why did Paul say that? And was it meant, it was meant to address a problem and other problems, of course, in the church of Corinth, right? And before we go, I'll throw questions. I would like to quickly go through the main context, which actually we'll be studying next week. But I would like to give you a bird's eye view on what was Paul trying to address here. Okay? It starts in verse 10 of chapter 1. The lesson doesn't cover it now. Like I said, next week it will be covered. It was after Paul introduced himself as the apostle, and then he thanked the brethren for everything that they were, and then he started pleading to them. And he said, "I plead to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that please be united. Have the same mind." That was the context, right? Have the same mind. Because I heard about there's a lot of division within the church, he said. And if you go on reading that, it says, because some of you are saying, "I'm for Apostle Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas." You see what's going on in the church, right? There is a factionalism, right? Because somehow they pride themselves in the fact that, okay, they're following this particular leader in the church, right? Or even Paul himself. And Paul right away, he says, "No, did Paul die for you? Was Paul crucified for you?" It was Christ who was crucified. That's what he was saying, right? And then he continued, "And I thank God I did not baptize any of you except for a few," we said, "because I was not called to baptize, but I was called to preach the gospel." That's the background of it. And then he said, "Yes, because if I, and then I preached the gospel not through the wisdom of human words or any philosophical wisdom," he said. "Less," he said, "I will make the cross of none effect." And then, after saying all that, he mentions our memory text. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power, it is the power of God. So you see the situation. So my question then is, to both of you, any one of you, you see, last week we mentioned different problems within the church, but there's one big issue that he was addressing. First issue that he was addressing, that's the division in the church, right? How is talking about the cross a way of addressing that problem, Sister Joanna, or Brother Bona?
Well, I will go back to that verse in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, that says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And my mind went there because we're called into the fellowship, into connection with Jesus. And when we are we come from all different places, the same as it was, you know, in Corinth, it's even here for us. We come from all different backgrounds. But as we refocus our eyes on the cross of Jesus and the power within that miracle of the gift of Christ in the cross, then no matter where we're at, when Jesus is at the center and our eyes are at the center and we are called to be connected with him, the closer each one of us get to Jesus, Guess what? The closer we would be to one another.
Yes.
So it's refocusing our eyes instead of in faulty men and the wisdom of of man that shows itself into human wisdom. Amen. To refocus our eyes on Jesus and Him crucified. Amen. That will bring us not just closest to Him, but closer to one another.
Amen. Thank you. Any thoughts, Brother Bona?
I think that's really interesting topic that you mentioned about this problem that happens in the church in Corinth. Uh-huh. It's actually applicable to our days nowadays.
Right.
That we can apply this, that probably like a church pastor that is famous, popular, and then these similar things that happen. I follow this pastor, and the pastor move. I follow that pastor. So it's actually what happened in our church nowadays. Or probably not only that, it's actually famous or popular speaker or mega church for that matter. And then people is actually following that. But again, this lesson is reminding us that the point and the focus is not to those people.
Amen.
But also the main focus is cross. I think that's the reminder. It's really important that this lesson is giving us for this lesson number two is that we follow cross, because when we follow cross, then you know God will be elevated and lifted up, and Amen. God will multiply us. I mean, this is something that a good reminder for us. You know, so we don't follow Amen. Leaders, we don't follow pastors like popular pastors, but yes. it's back to the cross.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Isn't it so tempting? It's like, for example, when you, I've been in the pastor and some people are really following you and said, and I'm for Paul, or, you know, whoa, that actually boosts your ego. And they will say, wow, yes. And he didn't even touch it. In fact, he said, what? Wait, am I the one who was crucified? Mm. That was all really interesting, right?
Yes.
And anyway, let's go to Sunday's lessons, the gospel of the cross. I hope that we all know what's the gospel of the cross, but also, of course, our lesson doesn't necessarily define or focus more on the gospel itself, but how the Corinthian church were, or even those who don't believe, looked at it, right? So let's read again, verses 17 to 31. We read it a while ago. It's pretty long. So, but what was Paul really, what's the important point that Paul was making here in this particular passage? Particularly from verse 27 to 31. That gives us a clue. Anyone? Yeah.
As we are led by the Holy Spirit to recognize our nothingness, mm-hmm. the glory of God will become our only reason to glory. In verse 31, Paul quotes Jeremiah 9:23 mm-hmm. and 24. And just going back and seeing the context of where it was given, it is very fitting to say that that same word that is called here, to glory, it was then in Jeremiah, meaning to shine, to boast, to praise.
Mm-hmm.
The important point that I get from it is that as we are led by the Holy Spirit, He will guide our eyes again, refocus our gaze into boasting, praising, shining the light of Jesus and Him crucified through us. There is nothing else that we can boast of but Him.
But Him, right? Yeah, that's good. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think another thing is also from the lesson from the scripture that we just read together earlier. Another point that important for us to remember as a speaker, I would say, yeah, the message, the content of our message, more focusing on the cross, because nowadays we see a lot of content of messages. Devotional, it's more about self or more about whatever it's, you know, happening.
How to improve oneself.
Improve, yeah, self-improvement. We didn't say that it's not good, but this lesson is reminding us to more focusing to the cross.
Amen.
Because that's actually a good reminder for us, you know, more focusing and content, the preaching about cross, more about Jesus.
So and Paul apparently was focusing on the cross. We mentioned it last week that he says, "I don't even mind knowing anything about it except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so he was really focusing on that. When we talked about the message of the cross, and which is the main gospel, right? And gospel as in good news, right? So we know what's good news. The good news is that Christ died for all of us, or whatever your sins are, he's always ready to forgive. Is that exactly what Paul was trying to mention here, or what he was saying? Or if not, so what's really he's trying to say to address the problem in the Corinthian church?
Well, I appreciated what the long lesson brought about. It says the cross is the instrument of reconciliation between God and man.
Ah.
And I think that is the point that he's bringing, the specific part of the gospel that he's bringing about, that reconciliation between God and man, and that can also bring, is the first step for reconciliation between us as brethren. But the cross is that instrument. It is the main thing that he wants to share as the answer to the issues in Corinth.
All right.
It also revealing two things, you know, according to this lesson. It's basically revealing what's happening to the cross. In the cross is revealing the worst of man and also the best of God. I think that's something that this scripture is pointing at also. You know, it's displaying for both. It's like a two flip of a coin. The best of God and the worst of man. So I think that's
That brings a very interesting point, because I was also thinking how Paul uses that repetition to make the point. Repetition makes impression. And he's always contrasting, you know, the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God, you know, the weakness of man with the power of God. And this contrast being repeated is actually to see, it enlarges its power. Because as we read it and read it again, as this message is coming across, we can see ourselves in the true light that we have, and then we can see God in for who he really is.
So how will that resolve the problem of division in the church? By calling them, specifically, how does that resolve? How does that address the problem that of division in the church?
Taking our eyes off a faulty man, seeing the foolishness of following men.
Yes.
And how, you know, our eyes, to see our own selves in it. How can I be putting myself into the banner of just a faulty person? It's not that we don't have to appreciate or even show appreciation, of course. But it is not about that. It's about our alliance. And our alliance should be only in Jesus. People go back and forth, but Jesus is constant.
So oftentimes we really appreciate the talent and the gift of somebody, right? Especially a preacher. And they say, wow, I like that person, you know. And if he moves, they tend to follow him, right? And leave the church, right? But he said, no, it should not be me. That's what Paul was saying. Cross, the cross of Christ is the one that matters. Praise the Lord for that. Let's move on to Monday's lesson, foolishness to those who are perishing. Well, that's really very important. You know, we have mentioned it last week that Paul moved in his second missionary journey. He moved from Athens to Corinth. And it is actually in Athens where there's a lot of this philosophical wisdom of human that people rely on. The reason. The room, human reasoning and logic and all that, right? You know, all the philosophers, Socrates and all that. And when he moved to Corinth, compared his ministry, he was relatively more successful in Corinth, right? That he was able to establish a church there, right? And yet, here he is. He's writing a letter to the church of Corinth addressing that problem about the foolishness of human wisdom. Was he addressing the wrong people, the wrong church? Or if not, what was he really saying there?
So yeah, basically on Monday we're back on Monday, right? We're proceeding on Monday. So this is basically Paul is addressing. He set a boundaries that it doesn't mean that he's criticizing intelligence or eloquence or doctoral degree or education or things like that. For the proper reason, especially, it can be a great blessings. But he's more of correcting and confidence in human wisdom above God's revelation. Mm-hmm. So I think that is something that it's a good reminder for us also. And we can see also the background for the Church of Corinth. It's heavily influenced with the Greek culture. Mm. Yeah, so Greek culture. And you know, Socrates, a lot of philosopher, famous philosopher coming from and this is actually influencing this. And God is reminding us through this lesson that none of that is really the main focus,
right,
but back to the message itself about Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Oh, you want to? Okay. Yeah.
Just wanted to say human eloquence and wisdom should never obscure the message of the cross, whether that was in Corinth or today in each one of our fields of work and expertise or knowledge. We should never put that above the wisdom of the cross.
Amen. So actually, while there's not much philosophers were in Athens, right? But that influence also in Corinth. But even the thinking, even spiritual or religious attitudes, right? Just the fact that you are following this particular line of thought and you are bragging about that, right? It's like, it still applies to us too. Yeah. I mean, we may not have philosophers here, correct? But we still rely on our human wisdom oftentimes. Isn't that a big temptation among us? Okay. Six times in this particular passage that we read, Paul used the word foolish or foolishness, right? And that comes from the word, actually our lesson touches a little bit about that. It comes from the word moria, which is the noun, or the adjective of moros, which literally means moron. They're moronic. It's moronic. It says, to them, to those who are perishing, he's saying that the message of the cross is moronic to them. That's what he's trying to say. So today we don't quite appreciate how foolish the cross is to them. It's so easy to say, okay, how foolish because you reject it. That's usually what we think, right? But how foolish was it really to them then? So that we may appreciate actually their particular thinking.
In our part of the world, at least, we see crosses almost everywhere. You're driving and you see this church here, whatever there. We even see it on people's necks many times. So this is something that is, very well known. Most people in our context know what it is about. But Corinth was a Roman colony, and they were very much aware because at the time that Paul lived, they were still using crucifixion as a way of penalty,
right?
As a way of punishing people. So this was something alive even at the time of Paul. This was not something that it was just a historical lesson for them. This was happening for them. And as a Roman colony, the power, they felt the benefits of being under the wing of the powerful, nation that was just ruling them. So it was nonsense for them to think that something that was actually specifically designed to bring people not just the death, but complete, utter humiliation.
Yes.
It was made to really put people to the lowest of the lowest for everyone else to see. So at that time, it was just an amazing contrast between the reality of that execution tool or method that the Romans had with a powerful God that would be able to reach out to each one of you of me to bring us up. It was just too much of a contrast.
Yes, thank you very much. It's like saying, hey, it's the cross actually is a punishment. In fact, one of the scriptures in the Old Testament, it's a curse, right? When you are crucified, and they say, how could you say that that cross is the one that will lift you up or save you, you know? You have something else to say?
I think if we can dive back again, I think Sister Joanna mentioning a good point that, and imagine again that a form of crucifixion is the most shameful form of execution. Mm-hmm. I don't know what relates to our world nowadays, the mm-hmm. shameful form of execution. And also, it was also normally crucified is for criminals and also slaves for that matter. And basically, it's this for them, for their view, is those who crucify is basically weak and defeated. Hmm. It's completely outside of their expectation. And this is something that, and again, go back to the background of Greeks also, they really value and admire strength. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greek people admire strength, admire heavy, big philosophy, deep philosophy, and reasoning. Mm-hmm. And all of this completely contrasts to what a framework in their mindset and cultural background.
Amen. Thank you. Apparently, you still wanted to say something? Okay, apparently it's not just the pagans, right? Who looked at the cross as foolishness, you know, the message of Christ. It's even the Jews themselves, right? So how foolish was it for them? I mean, we understand now how foolish it was for the pagans, but for the Jews.
For the Jews themselves, yeah. Basically, Jews expect a conquering Messiah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jews expected a conquering Messiah. And if we quote back, read in Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, mm-hmm. says that one who hangs on the tree is cursed.
Oh.
That reflect back in Deuteronomy, so in right. Old Testament. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23 says, one who hangs on a tree is cursed. And imagine what the Jews going through in their minds. Oh. And also they expect also political victory over the Rome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not the other way around. Messiah executed by the Rome.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Deuteronomy. Yes, it was a curse, right, for them. And that's why they cannot understand how it doesn't make sense for them. It doesn't make sense. You want to say something else? Okay, thank you very much. By the way, to that kind of idea, I would like to read to you what Ellen White said. Actually, it's written in your lesson on Friday's lesson, The Farther Thoughts. We're not closing yet, right? He said, to the minds of multitudes living at the present time, the cross of Calvary is surrounded by sacred memories. Hallowed associations are connected with the scenes of crucifixion. But in Paul's day, the cross was regarded with feelings of repulsion and horror. To uphold as the savior of mankind, one who had met death on the cross would naturally call forth ridicule and opposition. And then she continues, Paul well knew how his message would be regarded by both Jews and the Greeks of Corinth. Among his Jewish leaders, there were many who would be angered by the message he was about to proclaim. In the estimation of the Greeks, his words would be absurd folly. He would be looked upon as weak-minded for attempting to show how the cross could have any connection with the elevation of the race or salvation for mankind. It's basically what you said, right? But, I mean, I hope you appreciate now what Paul was dealing with when he was writing this lesson. Yes.
And what I find so encouraging, and it just put the spot on myself.
Uh-huh.
Because on my own life, I have people that also think that it's foolishness to think and to live for Christ.
Right.
And Paul preached, he knew this was the response from both Jews and Greeks, but he also knew the power of God.
Amen.
And that's why he had the boldness to go ahead and preach the gospel in all its power.
Amen. Thank you very much. In spite of that mindset of his audience during that time, right? Still, Paul was able to win many. But you know, as we mentioned last time, he was being discouraged, right? And yet the Lord showed to him and says, well, Paul, don't stop, because there were many in this place who will follow me, who will believe me. And then he was able to establish church, right? So what does that teach us about the power of the cross to save even the perishing? Anyone? What does that teach us? I mean, even with that kind of mindset, people were somehow converted, and
there are hearts that are ready. The harvest is ready.
Yes.
So, you know, even though we don't see things, we don't see things that might come to fruition, still there are hearts that are ready.
Yes. Any other thought?
Yeah, I think it's just basically reflecting that how powerful the cross is, basically. It's not like we cannot really cover it with something else, with anything else, because
yes,
people will still draw to the cross.
Amen.
And that shows basically how powerful cross is, and all the message, gospel with the cross also, as
yeah,
well.
Thank you very much. So don't underestimate people's mindset. Why? Because even if they may have those, God is so powerful.
Amen.
And the cross is so powerful, as they mentioned, right?
Amen.
And it can change that kind of mindset. And that is why Paul's passion was Jesus Christ and him crucified, right?
He lived it in himself.
Exactly.
He knew the power of God. So because he had it, he knew that he was not nobody special, that was to be imparted.
Amen.
To everyone who would accept it.
Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do, right? Let's move on to Tuesday's lesson. Okay, we talked about the foolishness of the cross to those who are perishing. Now we'll be going to the power. That power we just touched about, right? It is the power. That message of the cross is the power for those who will be saved. Okay, our lesson guide reminds us of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Okay, we all know what he has accomplished, but let's read those two verses. Would like to read Colossians 1:20, and then you, Brother Bono, maybe you read 1 Peter 2:24.
And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross.
Okay, that's about reconciliation, right? Brother Bona, would you like to read 1 Peter 2:24? Okay. While he's looking for it, let me ask that question. So what did... Based on those two verses, so he will be reading again, following, what did Jesus Christ really accomplish on the cross, according to those texts, particularly what Paul has mentioned? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found it. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 or 20?
2:24.
For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God.
Mm. Okay, so what did, according to these, Paul and Peter, what did Jesus Christ accomplish at the cross?
The possibility of not just being forgiven,
mm-hmm,
but to be reconciled with God.
Oh.
And in that, there is that restoration of that connection. And in that restoration of connection, we have life, we have healing, and we have peace.
Amen. Okay. You have thoughts on that?
Yeah. So what the question, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's reconciliation.
Yeah, reconciliation. And it says, actually, the verse that you read, it says, reconciled all things, right? So there's when you say all, no one is exempted, right? Does that mean all will be saved?
It's actually opening the way of salvation.
Uh-huh. Okay, so in other words, you can be reconciled, but what?
But the penalty,
not necessarily be saved.
Yeah, but still, it's also basically paid the penalty for the sin as well. I think that's
uh-huh.
something that accomplished on the cross also, you know, so.
Right. Let's read Romans 5:20. You would like to read?
Yeah. Okay. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Uh-huh. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more.
Mm. So in other words, yeah, basically like Brother Bonner said, the cross accomplished an opening for everybody was reconciled. It's an opening. It's now a potential for everybody to be saved, right? While God reconciled all, it's up to you to what? To really accept that reconciliation and be saved. Is that what he's saying? Okay.
Yeah, it's back to us, basically.
So
if you don't accept the hand, we will not be saved.
Right. Yeah. So how does relying on human wisdom or words or philosophical sophistry make the cross of Christ of none effect? Man, we read that a while ago, right? So that's why Paul wants us to focus on the cross and the benefit of the cross and what he has accomplished, right? So how does that really, how is relying on human wisdom make that message of the cross of none effect?
It's basically back to the focus, yeah. If they rely on those wisdom, intellect, achievement, whatever degrees, traditions for that matter, basically they're shifting themselves to themselves,
yeah.
Not to the God-saving power. So again, back to the focus. You know, basically, if you wanna people trust all of those things, they're focusing more of the people rather than God and the saving power.
And like yes. And like what you mentioned a while ago, it's focusing on that, it doesn't actually save, right? I mean, yeah, you can have, maybe it will may improve your life. It may improve a little bit of your ways, but it doesn't really save you from, elevate you to God, right? You wanted to say something as I
Yeah, it's 100% surrender. So it's not like 90%, 99.9%. It has to be 100%. And when we do that, it's surrendering our own wisdom,
yes.
Understanding all, you know. It's not what we think should be. It's what God has established already
Amen.
In that process of reconciliation.
Amen. Okay, I have more questions for you on particularly on that Tuesdays. It's really a deep lesson, but we want to move on, right? Let's move on to Wednesday's lesson. Messiah crucified. Well, we have been focusing on Messiah crucified, the cross, right? And what Christ has accomplished on the cross. Let's read first verse 22 on that, what we just read a while ago, but particularly on verse 22. Any one of you can read.
1 Corinthians 1:22.
Yes.
For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom.
Okay, the verse we just read clearly depicts the countercultural approach of Paul, right? In giving the message, and like you said, the Jews demand signs, and the Greeks what? Seek wisdom, and which we already described all that foolishness and all that. But how repulsive really was the notion of Christ, Messiah, crucified to the Jews?
Yeah, it's basically, it was shocking and offensive.
Mm.
Yeah, it's shocking and offensive, yeah. A Messiah was expected to reign and also to conquer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so instead of what they're seeing is suffering and die.
Oh.
So Jesus, even Jesus' own disciples,
yes,
kind of struggles to accept the prediction of the crucifixion's idea itself.
Right. In fact, they were following him all throughout his ministry. And by the time when he revealed that I will die, it's like, what?
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Mark 8:31 and 32, it portrays just Peter, you know, and Peter, when Jesus said this plainly, that he was going to die, he was going to be cursed, you know, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
see, even Peter himself, right? That's how crazy it was. It probably more foolish to them than for pagans at that time.
The disciples themselves.
Yeah, they are the disciples themselves. Okay, how does that same thought of crucified Messiah invoke awe and wonder in us today or in you personally?
It brought to my mind Isaiah 55, verse 8, and it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord."
I love that.
And in my daily life, I can see how some of the plans that I have for my life, you know, have not come as I expected. But you know something? God has just graciously and mercifully put his hand, and he does for each one of us who accept him, accept that gift of salvation, of restoration, of healing. So yeah, my thoughts are not his thoughts many times, but he can. But at the same time, because of the cross, we have available the very mind of Christ. And that is something that every single day I humbly request, because I need that mind of Christ, because in myself, my thoughts are very far away from his thoughts.
Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, we need that mind of Christ. You want to say something?
Another thing that I could add is that his love, I personally can testify that his love that spared me. I could die. Not saying proudly, but I used to be a drug user, drug dealer back home. But God still has planned for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Still, in the back row of the class, I was pumping with those drugs. And in, as soon as I accept Jesus, I feel like, okay, God has planned for me.
Amen.
And this is God's, basically God's love.
And that's the
Awe.
Power.
Yes.
Of a Messiah crucified, right?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what can we learn from Paul's countercultural approach in this particular epistle? It's sticking to the cross rather than just, hey, you know.
So basically, Paul's approach is God's truth is not determined but by what is popular, accepted by the society. So it's not like he's swimming against the current or anything like that, but just imagine the same gospel if you slap it with the left cheek. What do you do? That seems like this is a similar idea.
It's foolish too, right?
For some people, it would be a foolish idea. So.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. You wanted to say something else? Okay. Yeah. No more. Let's move on to Thursday's lesson. It's very quick. It's Christ's power and wisdom of God. Okay. What was Paul's purpose in presenting as vividly as possible the contrast between the wisdom of the wise of this world and the wisdom of God? What did he want his Corinthian brothers and sisters desire most as he exemplified the same in his preaching?
He desired them to attain the highest wisdom that could be available to men, and that's the wisdom of God. He loved them so much that he wanted them to be so solely focused, as he already said in 1 Corinthians, in Christ and him crucified.
Yes. Basically, what he was saying is, hey, forget about who you're following, right? Let's focus on these. That's his desires. That's what you're saying, right? You wanted to say something?
Yeah, back to the human eloquence and also people's status. People might we can probably see the church will be packed and full if there's like a popular speaker coming speaking in the church. Well, I know we are intending to hear the word of God, but however, sometimes our ideas having this human eloquence and also status of the speaker, evangel, probably a million views out there in the social media platform, people would packed in the church.
Yes.
And that's basically a clear application in our life nowadays versus the life and situation in Corinth that Paul experienced. So basically, back to this is stop trusting human statuses, stop trusting eloquence and philosophy of the world out there. Empty yourself and receive Jesus Christ.
Amen, because to God, that's all foolishness. While we look at that as wisdom, to God, that's foolish. In fact, Paul said that even the foolishness of God is even greater than the wisdom of men. That's what he was trying to say, right? Yeah. So basically, Paul was trying to desire them to see that point. You know, like what you said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? Before we close, maybe you want to say something? We are enjoying the discussion, by the way, right? But we're running out of time, so let's give our thoughts. What could be in our church today? What could be a stumbling block to our faith? Though we have the advantage of a 2020 hindsight, we know from the experience of the past, and yet many times we're still a stumbling block to the faith.
I feel like it's something that really, back to us, is whatever clear, visible in our view. Mm-hmm. People admire big buildings, mega church or things like that, and million views, speakers out there. And I think this is a good reminder for us that
Amen.
None of that matters. I think it goes back to the cross again, the message
yes.
of the cross, and how we empty ourselves and fill it with Jesus.
Amen.
And not reorganize like the furniture placement in our hearts and then set aside something, but empty everything, furniture in our hearts,
Amen.
And put Jesus in the center of everything.
Amen. Yeah, just a reminder, there's an offer that if you want a copy of this, it's offer number C202628. And also, you can call 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Thank you very much, everyone.